Amen. Okay, so Matthew chapter 12, I want to focus on verse 30. So Matthew 12, 30, where the Bible reads, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." And the title of my sermon today is Hating Every False Way. Hating every false way. What does it mean to hate every false way? Well, turn to Psalm 119. You might be sitting there thinking, "Brother Ian, surely a Christian isn't meant to hate. You've heard this before. Isn't a Christian meant to be tolerant of all, non-judgmental, maybe open arms to the vilest of sinners?" Well, keeping in mind that according to 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. What did God inspire the psalmist here to say for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness? Psalm 119, look at verse 104. Psalm 119, 104 says, "Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way." So with the understanding that we get from God's precepts or commands, the result is that we then hate every false way, yeah? Okay? So if a Christian doesn't hate every false religion out there, then they have no understanding, do they?
Amen.
They don't have the understanding that comes from God's precepts. If you're saved and you're reading the Word of God regularly, then you will eventually hate every false way, won't you?
Amen.
Yeah? That's what I see from that. Turn to verse 128 there. Psalm 119, 128. The second part of that verse. So it's repeated again. "Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way." If you believe this Bible, then you should hate the lies and the liars, shouldn't you? You should hate the lies and the liars. But this is opposite to what the world will tell you, isn't it? So this is the opposite to what the world tells you. And the world likes to tell you how you should think and behave as a Christian, doesn't it? The world loves to tell you how you should be as a Christian. Tolerance, obviously, is a more recent buzzword. To be a good person, a good member of society, to be a good Christian, you should be tolerant, shouldn't you? Tolerance of false religions, we see a lot, don't we? Tolerance of freaks and perverts. Tolerance of baby murdering abortion. Tolerance of everything, pretty much, but fundamental Christianity, right? But God told us to hate every false way, didn't he? Every false way. He told us in Ephesians 5:11, you don't have to turn there, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." And in Matthew 12:30, he said, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." That means instead of just not helping, they're doing harm. They're against God, aren't they? They're against God. But I don't know if anyone heard the old, "But didn't Jesus say that anyone who's not against us is for us?" Anyone heard that stuff before? Okay, so this comes from another passage where people try and say, "But surely if they're, you know, if they're not against Christianity, then they're for it, aren't they?" All these other religions aren't against Jesus, are they? Not all of them, because, you know, the Muslims believe in him, don't they? The Muslims believe in Jesus. The Hindus and Buddhists believe he was a great man, don't they? You hear this sort of stuff a lot. Well, turn to Luke 9. Where Jesus did talk about those who aren't against us. And I've heard this argued before, where people try, and this is argued for ecumenicalism. So in Luke chapter 9, verse 49, Luke 9, 49, "And John answered and said, 'Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not with us.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us.'" Okay, so this is then taken out of context, because what was this guy doing? What was he doing? He wasn't just trying, he was casting out devils in Jesus' name, yeah? So he was casting out devils, so he must have been a saved man of God to be casting out devils in Jesus' name. Because we see an opposite story. We see, you know, you're saying, "Well, how do you know he was saved?" Well, have a look at Acts 19, where we see some men that tried to do the same, but didn't succeed. So this guy is casting out devils in Jesus' name. Now turn to Acts 19, Acts 19 and verse 13, where it says, "Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, 'We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth.'" Doesn't sound like much faith in Jesus Christ there, does it? Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. An evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. That's the result of trying to cast out spirits in Jesus' name when you don't actually have Jesus Christ as your Saviour. Okay? So there's the opposite there. So the man in Luke 9, by contrast, was saved but just wasn't following them. And the application we get from that is we're not going to forbid someone from another church, you know, going out and doing things for God, going out and soul winning. We're not going to say, oh, you shouldn't be soul winning. You're not with our church. You're not with our group of people. But if you go back to Matthew 12, the context here isn't Jesus speaking about someone saved who's out doing great things in Jesus' name, is it? In Matthew 12, it's not. So Matthew 12, where we started, he's talking about the leaders of a wicked, false religion, denying the saving power of Jesus Christ, yeah? That's what he's talking about here. So Matthew 12, we put it in context then. Let's just start at verse 24. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. And if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore, I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And the title of my sermon is Hating Every False Way. And first on my list is the openly Bible-rejecting false major religions. Okay? The clearly Bible-rejecting false religions. So number one, false non-Christian, in inverted commas, religions. And that includes the largest one, Islam, the Indian Hinduism and Buddhism, the smaller ones such as Taoism, Shinto, Sikhism, and the wickedest of them all, Judaism, and all the rest of the various Bible-rejecting false ways and along with them, yeah? All those, and there's many, there's, I mean, some say there's like a new religion made, I can't remember the stat, but it's really regularly. There's so many out there, but these are the big ones, aren't they? And many will say, but aren't they all just different paths to God? Have you heard that before when you're out preaching the gospel? I believe they're all just a different path to God. You heard that rubbish before? How ridiculous is that? This is something I was thinking about to explain how ridiculous that is. Say I went out exploring caves next week, yeah? In I think it's called spelunking in the US, yeah? Here we call it potholing, apparently. So say I was just out exploring some caves, yeah? I came back from one of these times out, maybe I've stayed in a cave for one. I tell my wife that in one of these caves, I think that I was speaking with a devil. I say, you know, I had a crazy experience. I think I'll speak to a devil. Fortunately, my wife convinces me that it was actually the angel Gabriel. It must have been from God, yeah? It wasn't a devil, yeah? Thank God for that godly woman telling me that, yeah? Then because I'm illiterate, yeah, I get someone else to write down all of my crazed ramblings, yeah? Well, I try to sound biblical but fail massively, yeah? You know where I'm going here, yeah? Anyone can see an analogy here to some other so-called religion, yeah? Now, obviously, it's all in contrast to the Word of God, yeah? Everything I say is in contrast to the actual Word of God. But, so at what point do my ramblings then become another pathway to God? Is it if I get enough people to believe me? Is it maybe if I brainwash enough people? Maybe I threaten enough people. Maybe I've got a nice gang of people running around with curved swords on camels, and I persuade everyone that if they don't, they're going to get killed. Now, is it another path to God? But so at what point is it? And that goes with anything. So obviously I'm messing a bit here and giving an analogy to Islam. But really, so what can I just make a religion? Now it's a path to God. Is that another path, what I make? Because that's what false religion is, isn't it? Right. So other people make religions, and sometimes, of course, there are devils involved in that. But that doesn't make it a path to God, does it? So obviously, and I don't think anyone here is in any doubt, that it is absolutely ridiculous to say that basically all false religions are just different pathways to God. But where, like I said, where does that end? So it doesn't end, does it? But how the sad thing is that there are so many people around the world that claim to be Christians, that claim to believe that all these different religions, or the majority of them, are a pathway to God. Even though John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Okay, it's clear. It cannot jive with the Bible, can it at all? Every single one of these false religions is leading people to hell. Every single one, isn't it? Every single one is leading people to hell. They are wicked. And as Christians, we should hate every single one of them, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
We should hate everyone. Okay, it's not, oh, well, I only hate that one because, well, that's the Muslims, but I don't hate this one because, you know, those Buddhists, they seem like pretty nice people, you know, and, you know, they're quite spiritual. And no, I hate every single one of them. And we as Christians should hate every single one. Now, every single one is a false way, isn't it? Okay. And look, we want to get people saved, and it's not that we hate the people, we hate the religion, don't we? We hate the religion, we hate the people pushing these religions, but we want to get people saved, but there is no common ground with these false religions, is there? There's no common ground. We're not going out trying to act like, yeah, we just think slightly differently. You don't have to turn it, but 1 Corinthians 10:20 says, "But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God, and I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils." So behind Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, and the rest, and every other Bible rejecting false religion are devils. Right. Yeah? Devils behind every single one of them.
Yeah.
Now you say, hold on, doesn't Judaism believe the Bible? What about Judaism? They believe the Bible. Well, it doesn't, does it? People who claim to believe what we call Judaism today, sadly they are those that say they are Jews but are not, but are the synagogue of Satan, they openly reject 61 of 66 books of the Bible, don't they? So how on earth do they believe the Bible? But as we know, as Jesus said in John 5:46, "For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me." Because they don't believe Moses, otherwise they would have believed Jesus Christ. They don't believe the Torah. People claim they follow the Torah. They don't believe the Torah at all. They think it's just some sort of nice little, you know, analogies and a few stories and everything else. But really they're following, you know, for doctrines, the commandments of men, aren't they? And that's the Babylonian Talmud. So, but it's worse than that though, isn't it? And I'm not going to go, you know, preach on this for too long, but just to remind you, in Matthew 12, they said of Jesus, so in Matthew 12, where we started, verse 24, "When the Pharisees heard it, they said, 'This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils.'" So Jesus goes on to explain, and it's clearer, obviously, in Mark 3, that the result of this blaspheming of the Holy Ghost is this: "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy," this is in verse 31, "shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." We see in Mark 3, it says, because they have said that he had the devil, yeah? So they're blaspheming the Holy Ghost when they're saying that Jesus Christ has a devil. And these people that call Jesus possessed by devil are reprobate concerning the faith, aren't they? These people are reprobate, they're twice dead, okay? Which is why in verse 34, he calls them a generation of vipers, doesn't he? A generation of vipers. That's Jesus hating that false way. Hating that false way. And look, I think that's pretty obvious, and I'm not going to go off on one on that, you know, that does need preaching on regularly, but that's not the point of this sermon today. And I think everyone here, you know, I don't think anyone here doesn't understand that. If you don't and you want to talk afterwards, happy to show you verses from the Bible to explain that to you. But I think it's obvious that we should hate wicked false religions, okay? Okay, it's obvious that we should. And that goes for the many so-called versions of Christianity too, doesn't it?
Yes.
Okay, so number one was false non-Christian religions. And number two is false Christian religions, okay, in inverted commas. because it's so-called Christian religions, isn't it? So just a couple of stats here. Of around 2.6 billion so-called Christians in the world, over 1.3 billion, so over half, are Catholic, of which the majority is Roman Catholic, with some Eastern Catholic making up the numbers too, okay? So you've got 1.3 billion Roman Catholics around the world. What a wicked religion that is. You've then got 900 million under the umbrella of Protestantism. Okay, now again, you know, this is based on estimates, but, you know, I don't see a problem with all these numbers. It's quite hard to get it exact, yeah? 900 million, though, so that's nearly a billion. And the umbrella of Protestantism includes, so they have, they kind of give it in two ways. They say historic Protestantism, okay? And that has Anglicanism. They group Baptist churches under this as well. There's Lutheranism, Reformed Calvinist churches, which include Presbyterian. You've got Methodism, Seventh-day Adventists, okay? Then you've got what they call the modern Protestantism of Pentecostalism, non-denominationals, some African-initiated churches, and Eastern Protestantism, okay? So that's how they group those two, and there's about half of each, yeah? Then you've got Eastern Orthodoxy with 200 million. You've got Oriental Orthodoxy at 62 million. And then there's what they call the non-Trinitarian Restorationism with 35 million. So this is your Mormons, your Jehovah's False Witnesses, your Oneness Pentecostals. Now, some people look at some of these on this list, and I'm excluding the Baptists here, yeah? But everyone else on this list, they look at them and they go, well, at least they're some sort of Christian, right? At least they're Christian, at least they believe the Bible. At least a majority of them believe in the Trinity. Yeah? No. They're sending people to hell, aren't they? They're sending people to hell, along with the Muslims and the Hindus and the Buddhists and everyone else. They're sending people to hell, directly to hell. Leviticus 19:31, you don't have to turn there, says, regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. These people, it's familiar spirits all day long, isn't it? The devil's behind every one of those. Okay? They're wicked. And you go into a Catholic church, see what goes on in there. How do you come out of there and think, yeah, that was of God? Yeah, nothing of God about that, is there? Jesus did say, didn't he, that these false prophets are against it. That's what we've just seen. In Matthew 12:30, he said that they scattereth abroad, okay? Now, you probably know when you're out knocking doors, you try getting a lifelong practicing Roman Catholic, and I'm saying a practicing Roman Catholic, not someone who just says that, yeah, well, I was raised a Catholic. A lifelong practicing Roman Catholic, Anglican, Orthodox, a Mormon, a witness, wow. You try getting them saved? How do you guys do with that? As a general rule, it's borderline impossible sometimes, isn't it? But it's very, very difficult. And that's a rare story when you have someone that's actually been lifelong in those churches of any sort of age at all. But these people, they don't even claim the Bible is their final authority, do they? All those religions there, they're not even claiming, you know, for the Catholics, it's the Pope's their final authority. They don't claim. They take what they like and discard what they want out of it. Now, these religions are wicked. But again, I don't think that anyone here needs convincing of that. I don't think so. I don't think anyone here needs convincing of the false Christian, inverted commas, religion. So, hating every false way, we should, though. If anyone doesn't, if anyone's sitting there thinking, well, I don't know, well, that Church of England priest, he's a nice, friendly guy. No, he's wicked. That Catholic priest who lives up the road from you, well, he seems like a fairly pious man. No, he's wicked. He's wicked. You should hate his false way. And let's be honest, he's a false prophet as well. You should hate him too. Because he hates God. Do not I hate them that hate thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. We should hate them. Okay? You can't be loving. You can't love the unsaved if you don't hate the people that are sending them directly to hell, that are doing their best to send them to hell. So number one was false major religions. Number two was false Christian, in inverted commas, religions. And number three, and this is what I want to focus on, is false, in inverted commas, Bible-believing religions. Okay, false Bible-believing religions. And this is where Satan is craftiest, isn't it? Yeah. This is where Satan does his best work. This is where we have to believe not every spirit, don't we? But try the spirits whether they are of God. Yeah. Okay, this is where we then, as Bible-believing Christians, we need to be wise here. We need to be wise as serpents here, don't we? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world, aren't there?
Yeah.
Many false prophets have gone out into the world. And of course, there are the more obvious Pentecostals, aren't there? They claim to be Bible-believing, but I think that's pretty obvious, isn't it, for most, that so much of what they're teaching and preaching isn't from the Bible. But, you know, again, you have Pentecostal friends, family, whatever else in your life. Now, I'm not talking about people that are just believe that, people that are at those churches. I'm not talking about that, but people that are preaching a false gospel, people that are trying to convince you of a false gospel. Are wicked,
yeah.
Aren't they? They're wicked. Okay, now we have those, and we run into those quite a lot. And obviously, a lot of them, it's going to be something along the lines of constant repentance, isn't it? Asking for forgiveness for every sin, you can lose your salvation, all that sort of stuff. But I want to talk particularly today about Baptist churches, and especially independent Baptist churches, and especially independent fundamental Baptist churches, mm-hmm. preaching a false way. Okay, because some would say they're the good guys, aren't they? You know, the independent fundamental. As long as there's, you get some to say you need to find an IFB church. You need to find an independent fundamental Baptist church. Because they should be the good guys. They should be the good guys. Yeah, sure. Obviously, if you're reading the Bible regularly, yeah, if you're going to be looking for an independent church, you're going to be looking for one that believes in the inspiration and preservation of the Bible, aren't you? Okay, and an independent fundamental Baptist church should, by definition, believe in the inspiration and preservation of the Bible. Shouldn't they? But that's where the wolves in sheep's clothing are lurking, isn't it? That's where they're lurking. 2 Corinthians, if you turn there, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13. The Bible says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." I don't know about you, but the queer Catholic paedophile in a dress is not for me, or is not making me think of a minister of righteousness. I don't know about you, but I don't look at that queer Catholic in a dress. I don't look at that Church of England vicar. I don't look at any of those false religious leaders and think, "Oh, minister of righteousness." No, the biggest battle is the independent Baptist churches, isn't it? Yeah. That's where they're lurking. That's where they're hanging around, these people. And forget the pre-trib rapture fraud. Forget the Zionist satanic Jew-worshipping idolatry, which sadly seems to be everywhere right now as well. The biggest battle does come down to the gospel, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It always has, it always will. It always comes back to the gospel. Because you have independent, don't you? King James only, traditional hymns of the faith, non-Calvinist even, fundamental so-called Baptist churches around this country and throughout the world, don't you? You have them throughout the world that preach from the Bible, from their tracts, and sometimes even from their websites, if they're bold enough to do that, that in order to be saved from hell, a man must repent of their sins. How often do we hear this? All the time, everywhere. And look, this has to be preached on regularly, doesn't it? Because that's a battle. That's a battle amongst proper, what we consider to be, that look like proper churches. That's a battle. Is that the gospel? No way is that the gospel. Does the Bible say anywhere in the Bible, that you must stop sinning? Try to stop sinning. Turn for your sin. Feel sorry for your sins in order to go to heaven.
No.
It doesn't say it anywhere in the Bible. In fact, the Bible is clear that it has nothing to do with your works, does it?
Amen.
As we know, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." It's not of yourselves, is it? It's not of yourselves. If you're going to add a condition to salvation, if you're going to add a condition to salvation, let's use a biblical phrase at least. Eh? If you're going to try and con people, why not use a biblical phrase? And of course, the argument's, but repent is very biblical, isn't it? Repent's a biblical phrase. It sure is, but the "of your sins" bit isn't, is it? The "of your sins" bit isn't found anywhere in the King James Bible at all.
Right.
Yeah, repent, of course, is found many places, but "of your sins," you can't just add in "of your sins." Now, they will say, won't they, but repenting indicates that it's of your sins. Yeah, repenting indicates that it's of your sins. But it doesn't, does it? Turn to Jeremiah chapter 18. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 18, where God, who cannot sin, but repents more than anyone else in the Bible, does some repenting. Now, he's speaking to the nation here. Because, of course, they love to just claim every time you see someone, you know, God threatening chastisement if they don't change their ways, and it's talking about salvation. It's not. It has nothing to do with heaven or hell, but the physical blessings and cursings that come upon a nation at this point in Jeremiah 18. Okay, so in Jeremiah 18, verse 5, it says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them." So in verse 8, that's God changing his mind about the evil or the punishment that he was going to do. And then in verse 10, he's changing his mind about the good or blessings that he was going to give. Is it not?
Yeah.
Okay, so where's the of your sins bit there? No magic marker, is there? Where of your sins can just be assumed there. Is there? Clearly. Okay, and that's the same throughout the Bible. You can't just add of your sins because you see repentance. Now, they all say, oh, but when it comes to salvation, then it means of your sins. Well, turn to John 20. Turn to John chapter 20, the Gospel of John chapter 20. Because if it meant of your sins, then why didn't it just say that? As repenting can clearly apply to different things, as we've just seen. Yeah, repenting of the good, repenting of the evil. Because it has nothing to do with turning from sins, but a turning or a change of mind from unbelief or a false belief to faith in Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's what it's to do with. John 20, verse 30 to 31 gives one of the purposes of the book of John. It says in John 20, verse 30, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." So the Gospel of John's purpose is that people might believe and get saved. Yeah. Yet the whole gospel doesn't mention the word repent once. Not one time is the word repent used. If it was so essential to salvation, then why the book which says it was written so that you might have life through his name, you might believe, does not mention the word once. And it is full of clear salvation verses, isn't it, the Gospel of John? Isn't it full of clear salvation verses that don't leave anyone with any doubt as to whether they need to stop sins to get saved, yeah? So many verses you could list off, couldn't you? So many that probably many here have etched on their memory as well. And not one of those says anything about stopping sinning to get saved, okay? But I doubt here, many here need that reinforcing, okay? But sometimes you do. You hear this stuff enough, sometimes it's good to have a reminder of how ridiculous it is. But what we all need reinforcing is that not only is it a lie from the pit of hell, because it is a lie from the pit of hell, isn't it?
Amen.
But it's a false way that we should hate, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
Every single person here should hate that false way.
Absolutely.
And look, we've all been over the years at searching for churches in this country, haven't we? Okay,
yeah.
And with that, we've been putting up with some bad churches, haven't we? Okay,
yeah.
Everyone here has had to put up with bad churches, and in a way has had to be maybe slightly less discerning and just hope and pray that maybe it's not another one of these wicked churches, giving pastors the benefit of the doubt. And I've done this over many years as well. I've even given statements of faith the benefit of the doubt, and well, maybe they copy and pasted it. That's what some people say, don't they? Maybe they copy and paste it. Maybe I need to talk to that pastor first. I'm not just going to cast them off, because on his statement of faith, it clearly says you must repent of your sins, yeah, to get saved. So you try, because you've got nowhere else, because you know that you don't want to forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but on the same way, you don't want to go to a false church. And all of us have been stuck between a rock and a hard place here, haven't we, for many years. So you think maybe they've just copy and pasted. Maybe when they were preaching, they were just repeating some popular preaching phrases that they'd heard from someone else because it's a popular thing to say. Maybe they didn't really mean it. You know, maybe they didn't really mean it. They just kind of were repeating some things, you know. But this isn't just a minor little difference, is it?
No.
Okay, this is because look, when you stand up and speak for any amount, you stand up and speak for 2 hours, 3 hours a week, yeah, you're going to say things that don't come out right sometimes. You're not even going to realise it sometimes. But you're not going to stand there and preach a false gospel, are you? You're going to stand there and preach in a message, a false way of salvation, are you? Unless you believe it.
Right.
Unless you believe it, surely. Back in Matthew 12, because it's not just a minor difference, it's a difference between heaven and hell, isn't it? So Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, Jesus said, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." Now, what people will then say, they will then say when they hear them preaching that, well, maybe that preacher is unsaved. Maybe just that, well, he's just unsaved. He's not just unsaved, is he? You stand up behind a pulpit, and I don't know what that line, at what point that is, but for any period of time, you've been preaching, and you stand there, and you preach a false gospel, clearly, time and again, you're not just unsaved, you're a reprobate false prophet, aren't you? You're wicked, you're twice dead. Yeah, you're done. That is wicked. That's the most wicked thing pretty much you can do, isn't it? You're preaching people to hell. You're preaching a lie. It is wicked, isn't it? Billy Graham is one, and there are many. I mean, we could list them all day, couldn't we? So-called popular, or they are popular, so-called preachers, preaching a false gospel. Yeah. And look, they'll preach both sides of their mouth, won't they?
Yeah.
They'll preach the right thing at one point, and they'll preach the lies at the next point. But they're scum. They're absolute scum. They're not just unsaved, they're scum. Okay, and look, I've been through this with former pastors and former supposed brethren over the years. And you give them a chance, okay? You give them a chance at first. You think, okay, maybe it's just come out wrong. And look, you know, I know there's this stereotype of this NIFB, just, you know, guy that storms into a church and starts lecturing the pastor on minor points in the pre-trib rapture. But look, we're talking about the gospel here, aren't we?
Yeah,
and I don't want to go to a church if I'm sitting there thinking, is that guy like, does he really actually believe that you've got to repent of your sins? So I will politely, and believe me, politely, ask them what they believe about that.
Yeah.
And same with false brethren, and politely. And you try and do it politely. You don't have to turn there. Titus 3:10 says, "A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject." So I've done this at multiple churches over the years where I've tried to explain, tried to talk to them. They say they'll go away and think about it. Okay? Oh, yeah, well, they'll try and be polite, try and come across like, yeah, you know, humbly, because you're showing them clearly from the Bible. They'll go away and think about it. I had that at this church, Bethel Baptist, not that long ago. He'll go away and think about it, a couple of years ago. Then he says he'll get back to you. You ask, oh, I haven't had a chance yet. You know, you think you haven't had a chance? I'm trying to point out to you that that's a false gospel being preached by this church. You haven't had a chance. Okay, interesting. You know, I wonder what was so important. Okay. And I understand it can be busy leading a church. You would have thought if someone said you're preaching a false gospel, that might be something you'd look into, wouldn't it? So then they're preaching it again. Or you're asking them and they're saying, they continue to argue it. Yeah. Now, you admonish them again. That's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
First and second admonition. Rejected. They're done.
Yeah.
Because how else do you know what someone believes unless it comes out of their mouth? But
sadly,
how many of us over the years have had to kind of, or at least felt like we've had to, well, they probably just think that you've got to at least acknowledge your sin for something else. No, look, I understand there might be some people that have parroted that phrase, repent of your sins, and maybe deep down they don't really know what it means. I had a pastor that claimed that he actually meant that you've just got to, you've got to just accept you're a sinner. Funny, why would you say you've got to repent of your sins? What's that? Why don't you just say you've got to accept you're a sinner?
Right.
Yeah, but okay, so you point it out, you're polite, you try and be humble, he's your pastor, you know? You're thinking, okay, I haven't heard this before, now I'm going to have to deal with this, it's written all over your tracts. And then, what, a few months later, he's preaching, you have to turn, you cannot live how you used to, you have to stop your old life and turn your life. Wicked.
Yeah.
It's wicked, isn't it? And look, these people, they claim they don't believe that, but then they preach it. Why? Well, let's have a look at Matthew 12. They are liars. Because how do you know what someone believes? How do we know what someone really believes? Well, verse 33, Matthew 12, 33. Jesus said, "Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit." Okay, so we can look at the fruit, can't we? Yeah. And we've been doing a fruit inspection of Southend, haven't we? Yeah. Wow, we had another one from some wicked, perverted church called Thought Bay and Shoebury Ness or something Baptist, where the pastor rolls out the red carpet to queers, sodomites, freaks, actually wants them in the church, welcomes them into the church. And every person I've ever come across from that church and knocked on the door is unsaved. They do not understand that salvation is a free gift. They believe they have to be good to go to heaven. And we've been doing that. And let's be honest, has anyone come across many people in Southend that are saved that go to a church in this wicked town? No. But they all. But you look on, I had a look at this before this Sunday. I'm looking on the statements of faith of these churches. And, you know, they won't commit. Most of them won't have a statement of faith. It will just be some wishy-washy thing about we believe in, you know, Jesus or something. And that's about it. And you're like, well you know, what we believe. Jesus, you know, and that we should all have a fun time at church or something like that, you know, just really, wow, okay, but look, we've been doing that, there's been a fruit inspection, but look, here he's saying, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt, his fruit corrupt, it's one or the other. Let's carry on though, verse 34, O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, doesn't it just? Because it always comes out in the end, doesn't it? It always comes out in the end. Now, like I said, it's one thing. You might say something funny. You might, you know, maybe not explain something that well, maybe slip up with a word or something. It's another to preach a false gospel, isn't it? Preaching a false gospel is not something you do by accident behind a pulpit, is it? And if you did somehow do that by accident, you should be up there going, look, I'm sorry, I've realised I said something completely mixed up. You know, I didn't mean that. If you're preaching that and then you're trying to say you stand by, that is wicked, isn't it? Okay, behind the pulpit, claiming to be a man of God. Verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. It's evil, plain and simple, isn't it? Verse 36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Hell is going to be hot for these liars, isn't it? Hell is going to be real hot for these liars. Turn to 2 John 1, because I don't want to be a part of their wickedness. Okay, I don't want to be a part of their wickedness before they end up in hell. 2 John chapter 1. And let's just make this clear. It's not because they've lost their salvation. It's because they were never saved in the first place. 2 John chapter 1, talking about the many deceivers in the world, says, whosoever, 2 John chapter 1, whosoever, verse 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. The doctrine of Christ has nothing, has it? Nothing to do with stopping, turning, feeling sorry for your sins or any of that, is it? Okay? That includes there, false prophet, old family and friends. Okay? They're on that list, aren't they? Again, I'm not saying someone that goes to a false church. That's most of the world, or at least, you know, that has some false belief. But someone who's a false prophet, who's out preaching, claiming to preach, you know, the truth and is preaching lies, and that's not just from behind a pulpit. That could be out. That could be if you have a family or friend coming around your house trying to preach you a false gospel, a false salvation, and preaching that to you and trying to convince you, that's wicked, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, that's wicked. That's a false prophet. Now, okay, preaching a false gospel here, it says, if any come unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. So let alone a pastor. Now, you might have some, well, he doesn't come around to my house, and I've only heard him say you've got to repent your sins. So he's only got it on his track, he's only got it on his website. But if you sat down and pointed it out to him, because you should do, shouldn't you? Politely, humbly, if you really believe that man's saved, sit down and show him. Sit down and show him. Give him a second chance. If not, he's a heretic, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Rejected. Like how? Look, if you're a pastor of a church, yeah, you claim to believe the Bible, and someone approaches you and shows you something as clear and obvious as that, yeah, and you go away and you can't get your head, and you're still coming back and going, no, I still believe that saying repent of your sins is right. Then, wow, like, can you, is that a saved man of God that's trying to preach the truth? I can't for my life see that. I can see someone who just hasn't even thought about it, maybe, who's just so washed up around bad influences and everything else. But when you've clearly shown someone from the word of God, if they cannot hear his words, they cannot see it, it's because they don't understand it, do they? How can you not? How can you go away and think, yeah, that's not confusing. Preaching from a pulpit, you must repent of your sins to be saved. How do you do that? And look, it could be a whole pill to swallow, because we can, and maybe not so much people that are here, that praise God are able to get here and that have made things happen to get here, but there are still people around the country, saved Christians in churches like this, aren't there?
Yes.
Who are making excuses for them. And trying to find a way of well, justifying it. Well, he doesn't say it that often. I just think he's a bit muddled up. No, he's preaching a false gospel. He's telling, and it's worse than a blatant false gospel, because it's a sneaky one. It's a subtle one that uses a biblical word, repent, adds a couple of other words and makes it sound like it's coming from the Bible. Yeah, it's wicked, isn't it? And we should not be partakers of this at all. That means rejecting them. That means telling them what it is. And that means if you're at a church like that and they're preaching that, and look, you need to give them that chance, then you need to make it clear what they are and get out of there. Because otherwise, what does it say here? For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Oh, well, that's all right. I just don't have the pastor around my house. What, does that mean that's okay? No, what, he that biddeth him Godspeed? Oh, well, I don't say Godspeed to him. Yeah, but what's that really mean? Is it saying you can't say the phrase Godspeed? No, it's not saying that, is it? It's saying you're wishing them well. It's saying see you later, or goodbye, or see you next week, or God bless, or any of that stuff. Really, you're wishing them well, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
You're wishing that person well, who's a wicked false prophet. And you're sitting in his church and you're cozying up afterwards and go, well, it's not that clear. Well, he's only said it. Well, it's only written all over the tracts. Show him. Show him for his own good. He might be saved. Who knows? He might be saved. He might not be a wicked false prophet. Show him. And if he's still doing it, you have no business at that church, do you? Because it's not a church.
No.
And look, like I said, we've all sadly had to kind of, you know, in a way, compromise. A lot of people have here compromised, haven't they? Yeah, to a point. But when you clearly show them and they're still writing all over their tracts, they've still got it over their website, they're still preaching it, they're still coming around your house and preaching it. You know, if it's family and friends, whoever it is, preaching a false gospel to you, don't be a partaker of his evil deeds. Do you want the chastisement of God on you? I don't want chastisement of God on me. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. Why would I want to be a part of his evil deeds, regardless of chastisement? Why do I want to be part of that? Why do I want to give credibility to these wicked people? Why do I want to be a saved man of God that people around the country know, believes, goes out soul winning, and be going to a wicked church which preaches you have to repent of your sins? And look, if they don't believe it, take it off the website.
Yeah.
Take it off your tracts. Get rid of it. In fact, you should be getting behind the pulpit and making a public announcement that I apologise I had that, because it's confusing and there are wicked churches around the world preaching this. There are false prophets preaching this. I'm sorry that it sounded like I was one of them. And I'm sorry that I might have damned people by preaching this. But no. Oh, yeah, well, they don't really believe it. They just got it on the website. Oh, yeah. What is that? What is that? It's wicked, isn't it? That's what it is. Look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Because these people are. They're removed to the point where they think that's okay. That's okay. I'm not saying they're unsaved. You're saved. But you're sitting there going, oh, yeah, well, it's just, you know, another way of saying it. No, it's not. Oh, he's just a little bit muddled. No, it's another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. And that's exactly what I said to that wicked false prophet down in Brighton. And that's exactly what I'll say to anyone else who preaches that false gospel, who after the first and second admonition, you are accursed. You're done. Yeah, how do you still say, yeah, you've got to turn from your sin, you've got to stop sinning, you've got to change your life to get saved? That's wicked. That's a lie.
Amen.
Let him be accursed.
Amen.
Look, and I'll tell you what, yeah, even further than that, I want to know, if you're an independent fundamental Baptist pastor, yeah, how do you not hate this false way? How do you just go, oh, well, yeah, some people are a bit muddled up and, oh, well, there are some good people. Oh, well, you know, oh, do they really preach now? Oh, that's true. I remember talking to a pastor who seemed to be saved. That was his answer. Oh, that's a shame if they say that down there. That's a shame. The people that you yoke up with, the people that you meet up with once a year for fellowship, that's a shame. Like, how do you not hate that? How do you not hate that when we're told to hate every false way, are we not? Because through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. What, you're not reading? You're not reading the Bible? You're a pastor, you're not reading the Bible? Or you are reading the Bible, you're choosing not to. Or you're not, or let's be honest, you're just another one who's going to probably come out with it eventually in the future, aren't you? Unbelievable. But there's so many that seem to believe it. And people say that, don't they? But it's so popular, it's so common. It's so common. Yeah, there are many false prophets, aren't there? Marvel not. Yeah, there are many false prophets. That's life. Isn't it? But it doesn't mean they're right. The only way, it's not about what's popular. Oh, well, most independent fundamental Baptist churches now say you've got to repent of your sins. What does the Bible say? Because that's the only measuring stick we have, isn't it?
Yeah.
Turn to Amos chapter 8. Look, these people are everywhere, aren't they? They are everywhere. Doesn't mean we have to tolerate it, though, does it? Doesn't mean we have to tolerate it. We don't tolerate much less, do we? We don't tolerate a lot of other false doctrine, which isn't a salvation issue. We don't tolerate that. Yet people still, to this day, save people that know better, still tolerate this crap. Because that's what it is. It's rubbish. It's junk. People are tolerating it. Going to church as well, you know, it's the only church in the area. What? They're the enemy. They're scattering abroad. They're against Jesus Christ. And they're the most dangerous ones, aren't they? Yeah. They're a lot more dangerous than the priest in the dress. They're a lot more, well, barring around, well, probably around children as well, because they're false prophets. And they're dangerous. They're wicked, dangerous people, aren't they?
Yeah.
Look at Amos chapter 8, verse 11. It says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it." And that's what it's felt like in this country, hasn't it?
Yeah.
That's what it felt like for many years, where you were going to and fro, you were going across the country sometimes, trying to find a church where you would hear the word of the Lord. Because, yeah, they might have the King James Bible, and there's still some that do, but they're not preaching the word of the Lord when they're preaching lies. Are they? You're not hearing God when you're hearing lies coming from that pulpit. And wicked lies like that, and they're unsaved. They're worse than unsaved. They're false prophets, aren't they? And that's what it's felt like. You're just, where is the word? There is a famine, isn't there? There is a drought for the word of the Lord. But praise God for that we have a church at last. A church which isn't clearly just preaching lies from behind the pulpit. And look, yeah, I'm going to get stuff wrong, you know. I'm not perfect. I'm going to get stuff wrong when I preach, and every other preacher is going to get stuff wrong. But I'm not going to get the gospel wrong, am I? I'm not going to preach a false gospel. Oh, well, he's just, you know, a little bit confused. Oh, and he just kind of got sucked into a bit of repent of your sins. No, because if I do, then that's me done, isn't it? And you should all just walk out the day I preach a false gospel. And that's what people need to do around the country. You know, it's the only one where it's a long way. So, what did Jesus say? So he's not with me, is against me.
Yeah.
What, you want to be against Jesus Christ? You want to be against the Lord? Oh, well, it's a long journey. Oh, well, I might have to reevaluate, you know, life plans and jobs and careers and everything else and come closer to an actual church. But isn't it worth it? Rather than going and yoking up with these wicked devils. Because that's what they are, they're wicked devils. They look at the fruit of it. You go to these churches, look at the people in them anyway. Wow. You know, you look at them, you think you even saved. And look, you know, I know we shouldn't just be questioning everyone's salvation, but when the guy at the top there is preaching a confusing gospel message and you're looking around the church and it's just, it's wicked, isn't it? Absolutely wicked. So for me, you know, right now there is less excuse to be a partaker of the evil deeds. There wasn't an excuse, was there? But some of us, you know, with our hearts in the right place, maybe tried to see the best, try to hope and pray that there had to be at least, you know, there had to at least maybe be one church. And look, there are maybe a couple that are saved. There are a couple that don't preach this. There's a few maybe around the country. But now there's less excuse to be involved in any of those other hundreds of independent Baptist churches around this country that preach false gospel. Jesus said in Matthew 12:30, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." Don't be a partaker of being against Jesus. Okay, don't do it. And I don't think anyone here is, but look, in the same way, like I said, when you have people coming around, when you come across these people, when you for whatever reason you fellowship with other Christians, you know, and look, if they're not with Jesus, if they're preaching a false gospel, they're coming to you preaching a false gospel, you know, trying to convince you of a false gospel, they're done, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's wicked. But we've got to make sure, don't we? We've got to make sure that we hate every false way. Okay? That's what we're told to do. Hate every false way. On that, let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word, for your words. I thank you for this church as well. I thank you for these people. I thank you that you've blessed us with a church here, and that you know, that is making sure that we preach the gospel exactly how you'd want it preached. And I pray that you just help us to be wise, be aware of these people around us, to make a stand as well, make a stance, where however close that family or friend or whoever it is, if they're coming to us preach a false gospel, let them be accursed. And just to stand on your gospel, and starting with this afternoon with that, going out and preaching it clearly, boldly, and preaching the gospel and getting people saved, because it's the power of God unto salvation. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us through that this afternoon. Pray that we'll all be able to get back this evening to hear more of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.